But in reality, you never got many patents. You had a few, but not too many patents came out of your consulting work.
No. Oh, total maybe 10 or 12. There is a patent that I should have taken out.
Oh, really?
Making ketene from acetone.
Union Combine would have to pay you a lot of money.
Well, that's the way acid anhydrides are made. Acetic that was a thing that Union Carbide said, well, it looks as though this guy Herr didn't patent this, did he?
Had you thought about patents in those early days?
No. Patent was a complete stranger to me.
And there was certainly probably no patent agreements with the university.
Well,
in those early days.
If there is anything patented here now, the university wants to be the one that it's actually assigned to.
Right. But in the days when you came, that didn't exist.
And I didn't have any patents at all that I patented on anything that I was doing privately. It's only these industrial contacts where I had an original idea. Therefore, the patent was in my name. But if there's any profit, they get the profit. I don't think there are ever very many profits. It's about 100 patents to one that pans out, isn't it?
In the early 50s, you did some deuterium tracer work in pyrolysis, too.
Yeah.
And that was pretty early on in using deuterium tracers, wasn't it?
Well, I had help on that because at that time, a professor here is Malcolm Dole, who was doing work on isotopes. He incidentally died only a few months ago, but he was, I think, probably the most important physical chemist we had here. And a very nice fellow. I'm the godson, and for a Baptist that is something. We don't have that word of his son. I mean, I'm the godfather of his son. So he and I both thought pretty well of each other.
I know you had a paper. Thought I had written it down here with Arthur Frost.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you about Frost because I know that's how I learned my kinetics was Frost and Pearson. So.
Yeah. Well, he's in Arizona, and Pearson's in California. Both of them alive yet, but both very smart boys in mathematical part of chemistry.
Is Max Pollock still living?
Hmm?
Is Max Pollock still living?
Oh, yes. Yeah, he's in the metropolitan area in the New York area of New Jersey. I think it's Morris Plains is where he lives. Very charming wife, also alive.
Also very good chemist. He's
oh,
older.
He is. Yeah. Oh, do you know him?
I know of him.
Yeah. Well, he actually did some tremendous work with me here. There's a person from Canada that did very good work with me, too. Oliver Edward Edwards. Edwards.
He is retired now at Carleton University.
That's right.
We visit him once a year. He worked with Marion. On Sussex Drive, you know, National Research Council.
Well, in other words, you know him. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, very nice fellow and a good violin player.
Is that right?
Yeah.
He's a very nice guy, but he's retired, practically.
Yeah, he has retired, I think. But isn't he up there yet at Carleton doing some private research for us?
Yes.
Yeah. Which means he isn't retired except on the payroll.
Yeah.
Well, he's got a very nice lab on the fifth floor with our Simon. Did you have many Canadians?
Well, there's one at Nova Scotia now. And Edwards? No, I did not have many, but
Who was the one at Nova Scotia?
Oh, God, I know it as well as I know my own name. Right now, I can't think of it.
No, Taylor.
Hmm?
Taylor?
No.
A woman, did you say?
No, it's a man.
Oh, I see.
And I think he's going to come and call on me here this June or so. He's got an aunt that lives in this area. God, doesn't that drive you nuts? Wait till you get to be 93.
Don't have to wait. I can't remember now.
Austin. No. Well, it'll come to me. I know how to look it up anyway.
We can add that in later. Yeah, look at the transcript. You evidently did collaborate a lot with other people in the department. We've mentioned the paper with Frost, and you had one with Irving
Cloten-Croach
on an infrared paper, infrared of some polypeptides.
Yeah.
You did the deuterium tracer work, so you were really quite involved with your colleagues here.
Well, you have to be broad-minded.
Can you tell me any more about how the department has changed over the years as you've watched it change?
Well, yes, because I'm over there at least every Tuesday noon for a bag lunch, and I think that's the reason we've got such a good department. We've been sort of choosy in who we hired, and if we didn't think they'd grow, we would tell them so in the first 3 or 4 years they were here, and they could look elsewhere. But they would not get promotions here. But we've only had about one or two of those. But what the bag lunch does is one person on the faculty is talking to the rest of the faculty, telling what he's doing. All the faculties there, physical, organic, analytical, bio, except bio now is pretty much absent. They're their own department now. But telling what they're doing and knowing that their time is coming up sometime during the year means that they've got to have something to say. And I'm impressed that we've got a very, very good department.
How about the lecture?
The solo there has brought the inorganic thing. I think you're going to talk to him.
Yes.
Well, he started out when inorganic chemistry here was pretty thin. Well, I think it's probably the biggest of our divisions now over there. Honestly, it's a powerhouse we've got over there in organic. I don't mean that organic is poor,
right,
but I think that the inorganic is better. With Ivers and Van Dyne, there's a group over there that I don't think can be matched.
Keeps you young, anyway.
Yeah.
How good was the lecture last week? I'm sorry, I had to miss it.
Well,
board meeting.
He brought out the fact that the Dow chemical company is pretty big. I hadn't realized that they were the biggest producer of polyethylene and polystyrene in the world. which isn't bad, but he's pointing out a pile of other things where they're having plastics do the work of metals. They even have a plastic automobile engine. He indicated, though, in the talk, that one of the polymers that he had kept 350 degrees for a period of time, happened to lose about 1.3% of its weight. Well, I talked to him at the end of the talk. You actually told that this polymer lost that much on heating to 350, but you make an automobile engine? Well, he said, that also does lose weight.
I'm afraid they have treated chemists worse than any other company.
But they're putting out automobile bodies of plastic that are gorgeous things, and I guess pretty big business for them. At least they were pure white. I asked him afterwards also, you indicated these automobiles were made out of carbon polymer, but pure white? I thought carbon was black. Well, he said, it actually is. We put an epoxy coating on the top of it that's white. No, I was impressed that he had really quite a lot there of good stuff to say. It's an impressive company.
You were very active in the Chicago section.
Well, for a period of time.
And you wrote for the Bulletin for many years.
Yes. It's always been an active section, and I'm positive it is yet, but I don't take evening trips anymore, and I'd get lost in the loop in Chicago, I think.
You're not alone.
Well, we talked about your nomenclature work. You, in that paper in JCHEM-Ed, you mentioned the problems you had with, was it Hudson?
With Hudson, yeah. He was a stinker. He's a genius in carbohydrate science, but his particular problem was Isbell. Isbell is a chemist that worked with Hudson for a while, and Hudson had put out some rules for carbohydrate chemistry, and Isbell offered to improve on the wording of one. Hudson didn't want to have anybody improve him, so he just got down to something terrible. Well, Isbell is prominent in carbohydrate chemistry. He worked at the National Bureau of Standards, and he became the chairman of the carbohydrate division and put out a symposium on carbohydrate chemistry, and he asked me to give a talk, and that talk was on carbohydrate terminology. And there was a committee. What was the history of that? There was a committee formed of carbohydrate nomenclature after that talk, and Isbell appointed me to it. He was the chairman, and the fact that Isbell had anything to do with it put Hudson also against me if I stayed on that committee. It's just incredible. He and I had always been compatible. He came twice, as a matter of fact, to see the carbohydrate work that I was doing here. But the instant that I stayed on anything that Isbell was on, my name was nuts. But I was glad to be able to tell people that, because Isbell couldn't.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I imagine it would have been difficult.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been difficult.
Yeah. Both Isbell and Tipson were involved, and both of them gave me a tremendous thank you after my talk. They said, well, we both stood up to the great man, didn't we? Absolutely pointless.
I guess it's difficult when you have a man whose chemistry is so good. As you said, his science was very good, but...
Just like an 8-year-old boy that can't have his own way.
You ever run into that very... is that an unusual event in your long career of interacting with people?
Well, he's the only one. That, in other words, you ordinarily can converse with people that you know something about. And pleasantly, it's always been that way.
You should read the papers that Colbert wrote against Kekulé.
Yeah.
How can they get an idiot like that, recto and bon?
Yeah.
Well,
time for lunch.
I've run out of my questions, and I don't know if there's anything else that you would like to add. At this point?
Well, I can indicate one thing that perhaps you don't, you aren't aware of. In my protein work, that's an addition to my work on molecular rearrangements. Because if you have a carbamic acid hydrazide, it will rearrange in the same way and you make polypeptides that way, by a way that does not start with an amino acid. It starts with the half ester of a malonic acid that you convert to a hydroxamic acid, and It's a kind of an ingenious way to do it, but it's an outgrowth of that work on hydroxamic rearrangements. I don't know of anything else that's of any interest, except that I haven't wrecked my Rokas pods out there yet.
Dr. Bader, is there anything you'd like to add before we close?
We came here purely for the enjoyment.
Fun.
When you've been a...
came up here to hold her wife's hand, I can see you.
I'm an admirer of a man for 41 years. You don't want to miss that opportunity. And I can't tell you how I looked forward to your visits to Milwaukee. You were the one man I could talk chemistry to.
Yeah.
Earl Parker I couldn't talk to.
Who?
Earl Parker, for instance.
No. Well, he was about the best one otherwise, though.
Yes.
But he wasn't in your category.
Anyway, there must be a nice place to have lunch.
Who's that person that sort of headed it up? A pleasant fellow, but I couldn't talk much chemistry to him.
Roger Christensen?
Hmm?
You mean in at
PPC? No. Christensen, he was pretty good, I thought.
Yes, but in raisins, not in chemistry.
Yeah. No, he isn't the one I had in mind. I'd know it if I heard the name.
Gloyer?
Who?
Gloyer?
Not Gloyer.
Gloyer.
Name one more.
Henry Vogel?
No. Well, it's immaterial.
Moffat.
Hmm?
Moffat.
Moffat was from Northwestern, so I already knew him.
Yeah. But he wasn't interested in chemistry, really.
No.
He was all interested in politics.
Yeah. Well, BPG was very helpful to Northwestern.
It wasn't very helpful to me.
And very helpful to you, too.
Well, with that, I'd like to thank you very much for spending the morning. I've enjoyed it immensely.
Well, I've been very glad to meet you. May I take your pictures in the middle between those two charming people?